Three, two, one.
Hello and good morning. Welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour podcast. I am Matt, and it's time for the Week 7 preview, and we will start by looking back at Thursday Night Football. There are six teams on a bye this week, so every game matters. Thursday night featured the Jacksonville Jaguars at the New Orleans Saints. It was a little bit of a slow start, but it came together at the end. The Jaguars ending up getting the 31-24 victory. Big touchdown from Trevor Lawrence to Christian Kirk in the fourth quarter that got the victory for the Jaguars. Big kind of goal line series for the Saints as they were trying to make their way back. They weren't able to get the touchdown on four consecutive plays, one of which a near touchdown pass to Foster Moreau, the tight end, on third down that didn't quite work. And then a couple of vaults to the corner. That moves the Jaguars to 5-2. They are opening up kind of a commanding lead there in the AFC South. Meanwhile, the Saints drop to 3-4. They're still in the race in the NFC South. Big game this week for the top of the NFC South is the Falcons at the Buccaneers. Be curious to see how that turns out. Speaking of big games, it is time. We only have 12 games left this week, one of which is on Monday night. So only 11 Sunday games, 10 during the day, one at night. A little bit of a shallower pool this week. Let's dive in and look at my games of the week. First up, we will take the early morning group, and the one that stands out to me is the 5-1 Detroit Lions at the 4-2 Baltimore Ravens. Both these teams are division leaders. Both of them are trying to build on that division lead. The Lions have quite a bit of cushion. Next closest to them is the 2-3 Green Bay Packers. They've done very well, but this is a good stout test for a Lions team that has aspirations beyond the regular season. Meanwhile, the Ravens, 4-2, a little bit tighter there in the AFC North. The Browns are kind of on their heels. The Ravens have beaten the Browns earlier this season. They still have the Steelers kind of lingering back there. Bengals always lingering back there. The Ravens have been good, but they've been a little uneven. They've lost a couple of weird games. They lost one to the Colts earlier in the season. They lost that game to the Steelers. So they are going to be looking to get a win at home against a good team. This is one of the marquee matchups of the week. Switching to the later window games, the one that I'm highlighting is the Chargers, 2-3 at the 5-1 Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs lost on opening night to the Lions, but since then they've rolled off five straight. They're opening up quite a lead in the AFC West. The Chargers, meanwhile, 2-2 heading into their bye, came out of their bye, lost a tough Monday Night Football game to the Dallas Cowboys. This is very crucial for the Chargers if they want to kind of stay in the race. The Raiders at 3-3 are sitting a little bit above them and are at Chicago this morning, probably a game they can win even without Jimmy G. If the Chargers were to lose this one, they dropped to 2-4. They'll be 2.5 games back of the Raiders for even second place in the division, and they'll be sliding further out of the playoff race. Meanwhile, the Chiefs, if they get a win, 6-1, they're looking like the best in the AFC once again. Sunday Night Football probably has the game of the week, the 5-1 Miami Dolphins at the 5-1 Philadelphia Eagles. I really like what both these teams are doing. The Dolphins have an incredible offense, something we'll talk about a little bit later when I get to my sit starts. The Eagles were 5-0, had a little bit of stumble last week against the Jets. They're home this week. I expect a better game from Jalen Hurts. I think this is going to be a really fun battle. Both these teams have high-octane offenses and some opportunistic defenses. Finally, the Monday Night Football game this week, San Francisco 49ers at the Minnesota Vikings. 49ers, we know Debo Samuel won't play. It's on the fence whether we'll get Christian McCaffrey or not. If you have McCaffrey in fantasy, you need to make a backup plan. If you don't have Elijah Mitchell or James Mason to handcuff him, make sure you have another option if you want to roll the dice, because we truly are not going to find out until probably tomorrow night. I'm in that same boat. I have just given myself a backup option because the opportunity and upside of McCaffrey, if he plays, is just too rich to avoid. The Vikings, meanwhile, they got a win in Chicago last week, still only 2-4. If they hope to climb back in the race, they were a 13-4 team last year. They've already equaled last year's losses. they hope to climb back in the race, especially without Justin Jefferson. They're going to need to get a win here. I don't hold out a lot of hope, but you know what? Stranger things have happened. So that's a look at my games of the week. Let's move on to some sit start recommendations for week. All right, diving right in. Last week wasn't a terrible week for me in week six. I went 2-2 in my start recommendations. CJ Stroud, Breece Hall, great picks. Puka Nacua got the targets, just didn't get the production. Logan Thomas had an off week. I was 4-0 in my sits, so not a bad way to go there. Let's move on to week seven and see how I do. My start this week at quarterback is Tua Tagovailoa. You know, there are six teams on a bye. Every quarterback counts, especially in Superflex. But you might be tempted to downgrade Tua as they're facing the Eagles. I'm not. He's QB3 on the season, averaging 21 points per game. With Tyreek Hill in his arsenal, I think he'll be just fine. I'm firing him up. I don't feel the same way about Gardner Minshew. He is the man for the Colts now that Anthony Richardson is out for the season. He has having shoulder surgery. He will not return. We've seen Minshew do some good things in the past, but he struggled in week six. He only put up 12.6 points, and most of that came in garbage time. Now, this week, he gets a stout Browns defense that stifled the San Francisco 49ers offense last week. I am staying away. I would assume that you might want to stay away, too. Going to running backs, my second straight Dolphins selection, I am going Raheem Mostert as a start. We don't know if Christian McCaffrey is going to play. You know what would be the next highest scoring running back this season? That would be Mostert. Heading into week seven, he is RB2 on the season, averaging more than 23 points a game. The Eagles are a good team, but we've seen some running backs do decently well against them. Just last week, Breece Hall finished as RB4. Mostert is a threat to score on the ground, but also in the air, and that is how Hall ended up making up some of his points. He didn't have as spectacular a rushing day, but he had a lot of receptions. We've seen Mostert active in that area as well. I'm firing him up. My sit is Rashad White of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's RB24 on the season, but that's largely thanks to a 21-point output in week two and a spat of injuries that we've seen.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Position. Week to week, he just hasn't been a reliable start. Five games played this season, he has three games with less than 10 points. Even in a compressed week, I'm not impressed enough to feel confident that he's RB2 or better, so I am staying away. Wide receivers, my start this week is Zay Flowers. I mentioned how important this game is for the Baltimore Ravens. Flowers has quietly been on a roll. He's wide receiver 22 on the season and only has one game with less than 10 points. He's developed into a top target at wide receiver for the Ravens, and he only appears to be getting stronger. In a tough game against a good Lions team, the Ravens will need to throw. When they do, aside from tight end Mark Andrews, Zay Flowers is the one you want. I am firing him up. My sit is Gabe Davis of the Buffalo Bills. The Bills offense has been in a little bit of a funk. You know, maybe they will improve that heading to New England, but Davis is the ultimate boom bust option. He is wide receiver 23 on the season, but that comes with really high highs and really low lows. He has two games of 20 or more points and two games with five or fewer points. I'm just not trusting him as a consistent wide receiver, too. I don't know if the Bills will have to put up a ton of points to be able to beat a Patriots team that just hasn't been able to find their offensive groove. I trust Stephon Diggs, but it's too hard to trust Gabe Davis as a solid wide receiver, too. Moving on to tight end. Kyle Pitts didn't start the season well, but man, has he come on late. Jonnu Smith is still getting a ton of targets and production, but Pitts is getting his two. He's tied in 12 on the season now. He's had 14 or more points each of the last 2 weeks. Desmond Ridder kind of getting into that passing groove with both Pitts and Drake London. That's really important. It is a crucial game for the Falcons against the Buccaneers, and I think Desmond Ridder will find his big tight end. I'm firing up Kyle Pitts. On the flip side, I'm sitting Zach Ertz to the Arizona Cardinals. He started really hot, getting a lot of targets and receptions, even though he wasn't getting a ton of yardage. That was enough to keep him start-worthy in PPR, but now he's tied at 15 on the season. He only has two games with 10 or more points. He's averaging less than 8 points per game. And in recent weeks, we've seen Trey McBride, the second-year man, get an uptick in usage. Ertz is kind of a middling tight end too now. So you know what? That is not enough of an incentive for me to keep him in my lineup. So that will do it for the sit starts this week. Before I turn over to the movie corner, I need to slide over and give you my picks against the spread. Last week was not a spectacular week. I ended up 6-9 for the week. A little bit of a rougher slide again. But I've started off this week much better. I picked the Jaguars plus 3.5. And so now I'm sitting at 49-45 on the season going into the rest. So here is how I see it. The Las Vegas Raiders at the Chicago Bears. I'm taking the Raiders minus 3.5. We get Tyson Bagnett for the Bears. They're also missing almost all their running backs. Deonta Foreman, just about the only healthy guy. The Raiders, you know, we're probably going to see Brian Hoyer. Maybe we see Aiden O'Connell. Either way, I think the Raiders can get the victory. Cleveland Browns heading in to battle the Indianapolis Colts. The Browns I'm taking at minus 2.5. We are not a lock to see Deshaun Watson, but I think with that defense and the offense they have, they can get the win on the road. Next up, we have the Buffalo Bills at the New England Patriots. I'm taking the Bills minus 8.5. A lot of road teams I like this week. I don't know if that's a good or a bad sign for me, but I think the Bills are the superior team, and they will get the victory here. We've seen them against most of their opponents where they've gotten wins. They've won by double digits. 8.5 is a lot of points, but I'm taking the chance. Next up, Washington Commanders at the New York Giants. The Giants have a lot of injuries. No luck. We see Daniel Jones, but I am taking the Giants plus 1.5. They really impressed me last week with their scrappy play against the Bills, and I think they can get it done against the Commanders. Next up, the Atlanta Falcons at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is really a battle for the top of the NFC South. I'm taking the Buccaneers minus 2.5. I'm not sure I'm trusting Desmond Ridder, especially with his 0-4 road record. Next up, the Detroit Lions at the Baltimore Ravens. I love me the Lions. I took the Lions in straight up wins, so I'm taking the Lions plus the 3.5 points. I think even if they end up falling, it'll be within a field goal, so I feel pretty good about that one. Next up, the afternoon window games, Pittsburgh Steelers at the Los Angeles Rams. I'm taking the Rams minus 3.5. I know they're minus their best running backs, but they still have Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. I like what that Rams team has done, and I'm not sold that the Steelers have enough offense to keep up. Next up, the Arizona Cardinals at the Seattle Seahawks. I'm taking the Seahawks minus 7.5. The Cardinals are really struggling. Probably the toughest game for me, the Green Bay Packers at the Denver Broncos. My head tells me I should be taking the Packers, but I went with my heart and did the Broncos plus 1.5. They are home underdogs, but this might be the week that they get it turned around. One can only hope. Was my game of the afternoon, Los Angeles Chargers at the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm taking the Chiefs minus 5.5. I think Kansas City's on a roll, and they keep that up. Game of the week, Miami Dolphins at the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm taking the Eagles minus 1.5. I think they get a close, tough, hard-fought victory at home. And in the big matchup on Monday night, 49ers at the Vikings. I'm taking the Vikings plus 7.5. I think the 49ers will win the game, but I think the Vikings will keep it a little bit closer, especially with the 49ers dealing with some injuries. I think it's a 3 or 4 point game. So that is my weekly picks against the spread. Now, before I get out of here, I'm going to end with a little bit of movie corner. One of the most highly anticipated films of the year dropped in theaters on Friday, and that is The Killers of the Flower Moon from director Martin Scorsese, with a cast that features Leonardo DiCaprio, Robert De Niro, and Lily Gladstone. This is based on a true story and the book by David Gann. It's 3 hours and 26 minutes. It's also a very difficult story, so I understand it is not for everyone, but I thought it was really well made. I thought it was very compelling, and I think it's a story that people probably need to hear and learn about, especially since, you know, some of the facts and the truth of that and that era have not always been made widely known. That is a big point that the film hits on at the end. Eric and I will be talking about that tonight on This Week at the Movies, and we'll be looking at other collaborations between Leonardo DiCaprio and Martin Scorsese, so that'll be a little bit of fun. So you can come and check that out tonight. Otherwise, I hope you guys have a great week 7 of the NFL season. Enjoy strong slate. Even if there's not a ton of games, there's a lot of interesting ones. So have a great Sunday.